This is Monday Night Fallout with your hosts, Double L, Loverboy Langlois, Minister of Sinister, and T-Rock Plutonium. And now, it's time for Fallout.
T-Rock Plutonium, the world's only sign-spinning lucha libre wrestler, and you are tuned in to Monday Night Fallout as the main event is going on. We couldn't figure out if it was the rubber match or not, but it's a good match. Let's go right to our esteemed panel first. The IWC World Heavyweight Champion, Minister of
What's going on, T-Rock? How the hell are you doing?
Doesn't that sound good? That sounds good, though. That sounds good.
Sounds real good, man.
Worth a business card.
The IWC World Heavyweight Champion.
We need a belt. It needs a real belt, man. You need a belt.
I'd like to congratulate our colleague, though, the mastermind. How about that? That's some good shit right there, buddy.
And the rest we have out there in Philadelphia, and you don't mess with. Were they in Philadelphia? I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. Christian. Are they in Pittsburgh or Philadelphia?
I have no idea, man, but tonight has got to be one of the worst Monday Night Raws I've ever watched in WWE history tonight, bro.
That bad? I didn't think it was that bad. I mean, there were a lot of parts that were terrible, but there were some redeeming qualities. Like, this isn't that bad of a match. I mean, if you look at it, it's not awful. It's telling a story. Who is going to betray who? Each team is now, you know, they're teasing heel turns and face turns. Like, who's going to change? Like, I think that's exciting.
I know, man. It's so stupid. They just made Dean Ambrose into an indecisive idiot.
Well, is he a lunatic? Minister, is he just a lunatic? Are they playing that up? That he really is
crazy.
They
are playing that up, but I noticed something else tonight. It seems like when he's dressed in the Shield garb, they're more like brothers. But when they're not in the Shield garb, the Shield garb is their cape, so to speak.
Their Superman cape. And the thread is up at WrestleCorp if you want to go there. I need to go there. And the Shield wins, and Ambrose still looks out of place without a title. You know, like, he needs to either be heel. What do we got? We got 6 minutes.
Uh-oh.
Something's going to happen.
Uh-oh. You know, Braun Strowman was putting Dolph Ziggler to the test earlier at the start of the match. He told him, you need to do something. Oh.
All right. Apparently you're ahead of me, so... Minister, why don't you call what's going on?
Well, Braun Strowman's got him by the hair. He's picking him up now. Going for a slam on his Rudy Poo candy ass. Oh, slammed him down right in the middle of the ring. Oh, shit, the Drew McIntyre. Claymore kick of Braun Strowman.
So does that mean Braun Strowman's a face now again?
I don't know, but let me watch this. You guys talk amongst yourselves. I'm watching the future happen, as Minister told me.
Next week, they'll all be together again like nothing.
I don't know. I think maybe this is a good way to split everybody up because they can do more storylines and the Shield can move on to somebody else. You know what I mean? The secondary.
I would definitely like to see that. Today, when they announced them doing this match again, after they had already had their share of TV time early on, I was like, again? Come on. What about everybody else in the locker room? Get the fuck out of here.
So I think
yeah.
that the group are they Christian, are they disbanded now apparently? Are they done? Is Drew on his own?
I think sooner or later Braun's gonna turn face again and Dolph and Drew are still gonna be together. I think that's what's gonna happen. Until they lose the tag belt, then it's officially dead. That's what's happening, I guess.
Strowman versus McIntyre? That's a good combination. I'd like to see that match.
Yeah. I think Braun's going
like to
turn. I kind of saw that this was a short heel turn. I knew it was going to be a short heel turn.
So they're going to turn him back face? I don't know. I think that maybe just Monster, not heel, not face, you know. Monster with face tendencies, I guess. And did you guys read the thing with Bray Wyatt? Apparently he's coming with two new people or whatever. I don't know. Like apparently he's in a mental institution. That's what I think. I think he's in a mental institution and he's going to find manifestations of his personality or something like that. I don't know. They always ruin it with Bray Wyatt, but hopefully they do something good with him. And there it is, the Claymore kick.
Are they doing the Goldust thing where, you know, Goldust in TNA said that he had multiple personalities? Like, for instance, in an interview, like in a promo in TNA, he said that he had the Goldust personality, the Seven personality in WCW, and the Black Rain personality. Are they going to do that with Bray Wyatt?
I don't know, but anything is better than what they've been doing. Minister,
yes.
What do you think Bray Wyatt is coming back as?
Well, I have not seen that he's coming back with two new goons, or could it be one new goon and one goonette? You know, could they finally be throwing a woman into the mix that is Bray Wyatt?
I would like Luke Harper and Sister Abigail. I would like him to have – those would be the three. That would be the Wyatt family,
right?
That would
be cool.
Because Uncle Luke, his Sister Abigail, and, you know, there you go. Because Rowan's out, right? Rowan's out.
Yeah.
With some kind of thing. So, I mean, you want to package Luke Harper as a legitimate – wrestler, but you have this built-in thing with him. But I don't know. Does he want to get away from that? Let's go right to the thread since I opened it. And I'd like to remind everybody that on November 11th, you can see me, T-Rock Plutonium, doing commentary at CSW's Mucha Lucha November down in Colorado Springs. And that's at Sunshine Live Studios. So it's going to be awesome. And I get to actually call some matches. That'll be exciting and interesting. Nobody's in the chat. There's nobody in the chat. All right, so Monday Night Raw started out with Ziggler, McIntyre, and Strowman. Minister of Sinister, what did you think of the opening of tonight's show?
McIntyre and Strowman. Yeah, it was all right. I mean, you know, typical opening. It didn't really set off anything for me. I mean, it was... Let's see, what was it about? Strowman, well, yeah, there were shades of heel turns, obviously. We knew something was coming. I didn't know that it would happen so fast as far as tonight, you know what I mean? But we knew something was going to happen. They laid it down for us, and clearly it did at the end of the night. But it was nothing spectacular.
They are definitely teasing something. Christian, so the Shield then comes out and says they're not broken. And, you know, then Rollins has a qualifying match. What did you think of the opening of tonight's Raw?
This is like some Vince Russo-type booking, isn't it? We're like in Vince Russo-type booking territory where we don't even know who's who, what roles do they play in, and which team is going to get broken up first. My thing is, I think Braun Strowman's group is going to be broken up first, but then the Shield's going to break up around Royal Rumble because that's where I see it, that's where it's going. But the opening promo, it was bland. It was boring. It was the same shit every time. Fuck.
Yeah.
The Shield reunion sucks. It's boring. Who cares?
The match was good, though. I mean, the match was all right.
Well, we didn't get to that yet. We're at that now, guess. We're at that. And a world qualifying match, and Dean Ambrose actually shows up and appears out of nowhere to save Seth Rollins and have him move on in the best in the world. Drew McIntyre would have been good in there because of heel, but the problem, you know, because he's a world, you know, he's from Ireland. But aside from that, Minister, what did you think of the opening match of tonight's Raw? World Cup qualifying match.
I mean, I thought it was an all right match. You know, anytime you get Seth Rollins in a match, man, you're going to get a good match, man. And Drew McIntyre, you know, he was also good. They were doing the inverted Alabama slam, they were calling it, and there was, you know, a couple of two counts here and there. But Rollins was, man, he was doing pretty good tonight, I thought. He's always puts on a good match, but it's just, man, something about the way he works with big guys, and he was working pretty cool with Drew McIntyre. I was fully expecting him to lose this match, though, and it just didn't seem like he would catch the win. And then they tricked me on it. It was one of those deals where I should have said that he wins, but not really, because he ended up winning. They were selling his ribs. You know, when McIntyre pulled him into the side of the ring, he started selling his ribs. And that right there told me, well, he's not going to win this match because he's selling the ribs, so they're going to blame it on the ribs or whatever. Then he ended up winning by count out. So when it all turned to shit there at the end, so it was kind of some weird booking there.
That's a good way to protect Drew McIntyre, though, right, Christian?
Yeah,
that's exactly what they did. Because he didn't lose, he didn't get pinned. He was just, because Dean Ambrose interfered, he was outside. So there was a plausible deniability to his loss as a heel. You know, you've got to push that.
Right.
So you got that variable. But I liked the match. I thought it was pretty good. And I think that I like the idea of Drew McIntyre and Braun Strowman. I think that that's a interesting pairing. And, you know, I think people, I don't know, I think Ziggler is now on a different trajectory to be best in the world. I don't know.
Ziggler's a third wheel.
If he wins that, he will never shut up about it. Brothers of Destruction, they responded to Generation X in a promo, which was really, really cool. It was very interesting. I just thought when they turned the lights on them, like, that kind of took away from it. But other than that, it was pretty cool. But I still keep seeing pictures of Undertaker, and I think that he's fat, and I don't know. A minister of sinister. Old fat taker.
Man, he looks very fat. Are you kidding me? Did you see him in that match a couple of weeks ago when he was laying flat on the match? He looked like a totally different Undertaker. He looked like a fat Undertaker. And so, yeah, man, you know, I'm still, this whole thing, though, with the crown jewel, man, it's going to be a PR nightmare for WWE.
They have not said, they didn't say Saudi Arabia at all. They said crown jewel.
They did not.
They didn't say.
They did not. They're saying crown jewel, and I think they're just going to go ahead and go through with it, despite what people may say, which could be a very bad move for them. The public just—you never know nowadays.
It's not for a couple weeks, though. It's not for a couple. Once the news cycle cycles out, it's not for a couple
weeks. They could be waiting on that. The promo, man, it was a good classic promo that was, you know, probably done last week or the last time that Kane and Undertaker were there. They clearly weren't there tonight, and they did this promo back then, and you know that's what it was—backstage promo and shit. But it was well done, and I enjoyed it.
The best part of that promo I thought was in the beginning when half of it was like red and fire and the other half was like blue and Taker, and I thought that they blended that well. But like I said, when they turned the lights on and all of a sudden that you see their face, they should have eased in. I don't know. I wouldn't have just had them walk into the light. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I feel like Kane kind of ruined the promo because I don't think Kane's good at making promos. Like, Undertaker, he was doing fine on his own, but when Kane started speaking, I couldn't understand a word he was saying. Like, sometimes he sounds like he has marbles in his mouth, and you can't understand a word he's saying. I think Kane should let Undertaker speak throughout these promos from now on because I don't think Kane has what it takes to cut promos like he used to back then. So, other than that, it was a good promo. But Kane needs to stay quiet from now on.
He needs to get the voice modifier again. I'm Kane. Because you can pump anything through that, you know what I mean? Like, you could put it up to his throat, and you could just play audio over the loudspeaker of some, you know, of somebody else talking. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think people don't like the fact that Shawn Michaels is coming out of retirement for a Saudi Arabia match that isn't a WrestleMania, SummerSlam, anything like that. It's just, you know, it's a throwaway house show, and that bothers me. Ember Moon and Nia Jax versus Dana Brooke and Tamina Snuka. Apparently we're going to get a battle royal, and everybody did their battle royal stuff, and Tamina Snuka returned, and Dana Brooke ended up standing tall, Minister of Sinister. What did you think of this?
Tamina Snuka, man, the only reason she has a job is because her last name is Snuka. I mean, she is just absolutely terrible out there, has no business out there, needs to hit the freaking gym a little bit more before she returns. I mean, man, it's just terrible. I think she got rushed into this. Her look is clearly not there, but I digress. Dana Brooke, on the other hand, she was looking really good tonight. I thought she shined, and it's a shame that was it her that took the who took the pin on that? I think it was. Was it
mm-hmm.
Brooke that took the pin on that, right? Yeah. And it's just a shame, man. But Ember Moon and Nia Jax, that whole thing at the end where they threw her out and threw Nia Jax out and stuff, I thought that was pretty cool. Sets up the battle.
You know what? They didn't mention tonight on the air. They mentioned in promos, but they never mentioned anything about tomorrow night being the 1,000th SmackDown. They never said anything. They weren't hyping it. I would have been hyping it all night. I would have been like, it's the 1,000th episode. 1,000, 1,000. And they didn't. They showed one promo.
They had one commercial. Yeah, one promo.
Yeah, and why wouldn't you use your 3 hours of promotion time?
I don't know. That's very interesting. But they've already have a pretty big lineup for that Battle Royal already. They have Tamina Snuka, Billy Kay, Prince Peyton Royce, Ember Moon, Foxy, Nia Jax, Dana Brooke, Asuka, Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, Carmella, Lana, Naomi,
Tori
and Tori. So they've already, you know, blown their wad, so to speak, by announcing the ones from SmackDown. So what are they going to have tomorrow on SmackDown? They're not going to introduce anybody for that, I guess, because they're going to be doing so much shenanigans with the 1,000.
Is it going to be good, Christian? Is SmackDown going to be 1,000? Is it going to be better than Raw 1,000? It should get better ratings than tonight, I think.
Yeah,
I think that's what they were trying to do. They weren't mentioning it because they wanted the bigger rating. Because like, Raw is the flagship show.
Definitely SmackDown's going to kick Raw's ass.
Right.
Definitely. But speaking of the Battle Royal, we all know Ember Moon's going to win the Battle Royal. We all know it. Not even no question about it. She deserves it more than anybody to have the chance to face Ronda Rousey for the championship or whoever is next to hold the championship. So, yeah, another throwaway match in the pointless pay-per-view known as Evolution. Where this is going to be the worst pay-per-view of all time. I'm telling you right now, the ticket sales are still bombing. It's still the lowest ticket sales ever.
Speaking of Evolution, Minister of Sinister, I want to see Ronda Rousey punch the Bellas and break their arm and smack them over the head with it. Don't you? Don't you just...
I do. It looks like we're going to get to see that finally after tonight. I mean, yeah, I do. I definitely.
She said some like true shit. She brought up John Cena.
Yeah, yeah, that was good stuff. But yeah, I think that we're definitely going to see her slap her around a little bit here and there. Not a little bit, a whole lot.
So you think she's gonna win? I guess she's probably gonna win.
I think definitely Ronda Rousey will win.
Yeah.
Would they use cheating to? It'd be a shocking stunner. It'd be a.
Nikki Bella might get a few shots here and there in the match, but she's gonna lose.
I mean, the only way the Bellas would win is if they use twin magic. But shit, I mean, you know, freaking Nikki Bella has half her ass hanging out in the little tiny shorts she wears now, and the other one is wearing pants. So I don't know how they'd be able to pull that off effectively. I mean, I suppose they still could. It is magic.
That would be awful if they used twin magic to take the title. Like Ronda's first loss was to twin magic. Oh,
twin magic.
Twin magic cost her, the greatest woman in all of wrestling, lost to twin magic.
Oh, my God.
That sounds exactly like what is going to happen.
Some WWE shit, yeah.
That is definitely. Okay, so we had another world qualifying match. Dean Ambrose versus Dolph Ziggler, which was a good match. And I like that Ambrose isn't doing the rope thing, the clothesline, but he should bring it out like once in a while. But that's what makes me think he's going to turn heel. So, Minister of Sinister, what's going on here? Like, are the Shield? What did you say earlier? The Shield's going to last a while? And you should go to WrestleCorp, by the way, because Double L isn't here, and Mumra and Zero NXT. Oh, good. Well, everybody else should go to WrestleCorp. That's WrestleCorp.
Maybe I need to refresh. I don't see anything. Oh, there we go.
Shit. Mumra says, I do too. I hope she punches her right in the cocksucker. All right. Christian from Philadelphia laying down the smack talking.
I knew Dean was going to lose the minute they announced the World Cup Series. I knew that Seth was going to beat Drew, and I knew that Dolph was going to beat Dean just to further the heel turn of getting, like, what the fuck am I doing here kind of heel heat from Dean, like, Dean's treated like a loser. I know he's the center of the story, but he keeps fucking losing after fucking losing and losing, and it's fucked up. And this whole thing is just a propaganda just to get Roman Reigns, because that's what this is all about. Distract Roman Reigns from Dean Ambrose.
He's the great moderator. He is the great moderator. Every face has to become a moderator. You want to side with him because he's... The neutral.
That's why the attention's on Dean Ambrose right now, so the attention doesn't go back on Roman Reigns. That's why. Not because they care about Dean Ambrose. Because if they really cared, they would have done this heel turn more properly or something better than this bullshit of will he or won't he. It's bullshit.
Minister
it's
of
horrible.
Sinister, do you see a swerve? Do you see maybe Rollins turning again? Like, screw you. You've been doing this for weeks now, and we don't know what the hell is going on, so screw you. Or maybe the Shield turns.
I had that thought cross my head tonight. I thought, well, shit, what if fucking Rollins just says, you know what, fuck it. I'm the real bad guy here. But then I thought, I don't think that would be best for business, the way they've been building Rollins up. I could see Reigns doing it and have no effect on it because, again, that's WWE-type booking. You know, they're trying to push this narrative that there are no heels or no faces, which literally there really aren't anymore. And so you could see them going along with some shit like that with Roman Reigns. It's like
he could kick him. What if Roman kicks him out of the Shield? Like, it's not a heel turn. It's just like, you know, we voted and you were no longer a member of the Shield, and that would automatically he wouldn't heel turn, but Roman could get away with that, and then they'd be like, and next week we're searching for a new member of the Shield. Let's have matches. Who gets to be the next member of the Shield? I don't know. I want to know. That'd be cool. That'd be exciting. Speaking of cool. Finn Balor and Jinder Mahal had a match. Poor champion, and this is what Finn is reduced to. But you got a little tension between Finn Balor and Bobby Lashley, and that doesn't seem awful at all. Minister of Sinister, what did you think of the match and the tease? And then we can talk about Tyler Breeze because Bobby Lashley won. So let's talk about that whole...
I've missed this whole match. and went back and rewound it, and then saw the ending, and just how it happened so fast, and that was the best thing that could have happened out of this match, was that tension between Lashley and Finn Balor. So it looks like they're going to go with that for a little bit, but I mean, where is that going to go, really? I mean, it's still just keeping these two guys, you know, just in the fold, in the mix, but not really doing anything with them, because the whole show is like, seems like it's focused on, you know, Braun and the Shield and
McIntyre. That's why they gotta break everybody up, man. I'm telling you, like, I want to see McIntyre versus Strowman. You can do that match.
Yeah, so do I.
Do Roman. You can do Dean versus Bobby Lashley. Roman and Lashley. You can do, you know. Finn Balor can finally get his rematch. Like, there's plausible as if they split everybody up and they go their separate ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
Christian, what did you think of Finn Balor and we talked everything, but we're not talking about Jinder Mahal and the return of the Singh brother. The Singh brother return.
who really cares about Jinder Mahal, really? Who really gives a fuck about him, really? Let's be honest. But let's talk about Bobby Lashley, the biggest dud in wrestling history, the biggest dud. When he came out, there was no crowd reaction whatsoever. The fans couldn't give a fuck about Lashley at all. This guy is the biggest fucking dud in wrestling history. He can't get over as a face, and apparently he can't even get over as a heel. So you know what? Fire Lashley, release him, because he's a fucking dud. Not even Leo Rush could get him over. Can you believe that? Leo Rush can't even get him over. He's a fucking dud.
He was trying, Minister. He was trying.
He smells like money. Fucking dud. He looks like money, but he's a freaking dud. Like Christian said, man, he's not panning out with not even with Leo Rush. So it's like, what do you do with this guy? I mean, clearly they're going to stick with it. They barely started this. I don't see
he's
them,
fucking,
but it just doesn't seem
know,
like it's working. Christian is right.
You know what Bobby Lashley reminds me of? Chris Harris from TNA.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know either,
Chris
but he should be. Nobody watches TNA here, Christian.
Yeah, oh,
I don't,
okay.
Minister, when's the last time you watched an Impact? You probably watched it recently.
No, I haven't. It's been several years for me, man. Probably about 3 years.
Yeah, I'll switch to it every, but I don't get Pop TV, and I'm sure there's a lot of people who don't get. I'd watch it. I'd probably look at it, maybe, but I don't got the channel, and I have a good cable package. So, you know, who
all
wants
I'm
to
saying,
pay for that?
All I'm saying is Lashley has become the biggest dud in wrestling history. He's the worst signing so far, because no matter what Lashley does, he can't get the fans over. The fans don't give a crap about him. This isn't 2006. His time is over. He's the biggest dud. That's all I got
to
say. Like, he's the biggest disappointment.
I mean, I've tried starting it for him last time he was here. I've tried starting that USA chant for him. They need to do some type of military shit with him or something, man. Because, yeah, I mean, I don't know what the fuck they can do with this guy.
Everything he touches turns to shit, including Tyler Breeze, who we didn't talk about at all. All right, so we're going to take a break. And poor Tyler Breeze. Fandango, where are you? Fandango,
oh, God.
Come home. He should start doing vignettes like, Fandango, I need you. I've never been the same without you.
That would be entertaining.
Where are you, Fandango? And then we try to figure out where they are or not. 619-924-0815 is the number if you want to call in. WrestleCorp.com is the website. Go there and take a look. And we're going to take a break, and we will be back with more Monday Night Raw here on Monday Night Fallout on the World Generation Podcast Network. You want to do another radio show? Yeah, no. What do you want to call it? You want to call it drinking soda, but you don't want to call it soda, because where you're at, they drink pop. Nobody wants to drink pop, you Santori. I got a better idea. It's on Tuesdays, right? Tuesday night? Okay. Well, you did Rippin' Fridays. You did Saturday Night Special. You did Tuesday's Gone. Hey, let's face Tuesday together. All right, cool. Facing Tuesdays with Santori. Tuesday nights on the World Generation Podcast Network. Sounds great? Great. Let's do it. Yes, I'll make sure to let everyone know you figured out how to use Instagram.
Get a half-gallon bucket of thirst-quenching soda pop. Go ahead, take a big gulp, and then feel the relief. If your thirst is too big for a big gulp, have a new half-gallon Big Burp soft drink. Now only 59 cents at 7-Eleven. At 7-Eleven, the price of gas just went down.
Welcome back, everyone, to Monday Night Fallout. Yes, Heaven 11. Our new sponsor, Minister.
That's awesome. I like that. I like that. We're also in talks with Budweiser. Bud Light or some shit. I don't even drink that crap.
What, you don't drink anything from 7-Eleven or Budweiser?
We don't have 7-Eleven over here in Houston. But I enjoy 7-Eleven. I enjoy the Big Gulp.
All right, so back to the show about women. We went on with Lita and Trish and Alexa and Mickey. A very interesting segment. I would say that Alexa is better, but when Mickey pulled off her jacket and her boobs were just like there, like that was incredible, and it was good.
Nice,
Minister of Sinister, did you see her? And then she put it back over. She's like, why are they not dressing Miss Bliss like she should be dressed?
That's what I would like to know, T-Rock. I mean, what the hell? She should be in white, something where you could see that meat, that precious, oh, God. We could see that. She should be dressed differently. But, you know, this is how she is. This is how she is. So you have to accept her for the way she dresses. She likes that metal type shit. So anyway, but yeah, man, Mickie James, dear God, she is just, man, one hot mama, man. She is one MILF, dear God, Mickie James. But who else was in that? Oh, yeah, I have to comment. I can't let this go by without commenting.
Who else?
On
who are these
Lita
two old broads? What are they doing here?
Her freaking ass look, dude. Lita. I mean, she needs to get in that on that Stairmaster or something. Her ass, or change jeans, something, man. Do something. Those jeans were not appealing on her, I don't think. They made her ass look flat. And, you know, Trish Stratus, man, she still looks good body-wise. But her face, man, she is just looking a little too stretched out for me. Just a little too stretched out.
Christian from Philadelphia, what did you think of this segment?
I think it was kind of boring. And I don't know if Alexa Bliss is injured because she hasn't been wrestling so far in weeks. So I don't know if that's going to hurt her chances of winning in the tag match, but I think she's going to lose at Evolution. I think Mickey James is going to take the pinfall.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and they'll try the best they can to minimize the effect on Alexa Bliss's injury.
It was a bad segment, though. I have to agree with Christian. It was a bad segment. Not even Alexa Bliss could make it, you know, worthy.
Well, I don't know why they needed to do this, but that's fine. I mean,
they kept repeating. The one
but
part that
this time could be better used promoting next tomorrow night's 1,000th SmackDown. The 1,000th SmackDown in the history of SmackDown. Names like Batista from Guardians of the Galaxy, names like Mark Henry is coming back, the world's strongest man. Evolution is coming. And they're like, what evolution? Oh, the female evolution? Okay, so the authors of Pain faced Kurt Angle, the Conquistador, and I knew that it wasn't Kurt Angle. But I kind of would have liked them to not have said it doesn't look like Kurt Angle. Like, if you're going to sell it, just sell it like everybody's a moron. Like, everybody thought it was Kurt Angle. Like, it's not Kurt Angle! Because that's how you know Vince, in his head, he saw it like that. Minister of Sinister, what did you think of the Kurt Angle
experiment? Absolutely. They should have, you know, not said, oh, well, that doesn't look like Kurt Angle. Because right away, you know, I mean, I knew it didn't look like Kurt Angle. I'm sure everybody else knew it didn't look like Kurt Angle, but they didn't have to say it. There might be a 6-year-old who didn't know it looked like Kurt Angle. But yeah, man, winners by pinfall, AOP. It's not like you could expect anything different. Of course, it wasn't Kurt Angle, and the jig was up, and Baron Corbin got played once again.
Why would they do that, Justin?
I don't know, man, but this is exactly what I was talking about like a week or two. About every time that Baron Corbin comes up with a scheme, he always fucking fails. Tonight he failed twice. One with the Kurt Angle bullshit, and one with the six-man tag tonight.
But
like, every time he comes up...
I have to tell you, though, that's the same storyline with the freaking Coyote, Christian, and the goddamn Roadrunner.
Yeah.
It's the same thing we're watching, Christian. I hate to break it to you, brother. But it's the same thing. It's always going to be like that.
I mean, fuck me. Like, every time he comes up with an idea, it never fucking works. Like, he never
Kayfabe is real. It's real to him, Minister. It's very real.
Yeah, I love it. But you know what, though? I have to say, though, to me, this whole thing with freaking Baron Corbin, what it's lasted, what are we on now? 12 weeks? 6 weeks?
Yeah.
Eight weeks or so. I think it's been successful at getting him a character. Although, it seems like here, these past couple of episodes, they've been kind of pulling back on him a little bit. So that's kind of interesting right there, too. But I thought that they did pretty good as far as getting him some heat. Pretty soon, though, we'll be talking about how it was all for nothing.
Yeah, he's gonna lose his. This is what's gonna probably happen at Survivor Series. His job's on the line, and it's gonna be Team Corbin versus Team Angle. Winner gets to be general manager of Raw. Fucking Finn Balor leads Team Angle, and Finn Balor wins for Team Angle, and Baron Corbin goes back to doing nothing.
Yeah, I want you to look on the bright side, though, Christian. Okay. You just picked that out right there. You just called that shit. So you can get a point on that, man. I mean, that's how it's going to play out.
So he's going to
be able to get a point.
I think for as detailed as it is, it should be half points per thing because it's going to take a long way to get to there. So, you know, let's start with a half a point per thing and then move forward because – the point game, although Christian, to be fair, you do need help. You need help in the points game.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. We got a Saudi Arabia pay-per-view that we got to predict. When is that? That's not next week. That's
after Evolution. It's November 2nd.
It's coming up, man.
Yeah, so we got time. We got 2 weeks, 3 weeks. That's some time. I give a shout-out to the Party Pirate Punks. This weekend, they won the CSW Tag Team Championships, the first ever CSW Tag Team Championships, and we wish them well. And their manager, our good friend Hollywood Tony P, he hosts the show on Tuesday and Sunday. And so congratulations.
The mastermind,
yes. He certainly, certainly is. And I will be at their next show, which I'm excited about. And I don't have to sign spin. I'm going to do commentary, and I'm apparently doing the color. So we'll see.
Oh, that's great.
I'm doing the color. But you know, play by play is okay too. I like play by play. I enjoy it, but it'll be interesting to do a little bit of color commentary because I know these guys now. So,
can you stream it, man? Can you stream it for us?
Can I stream it? We should stream it.
Yeah.
We should stream the entire thing. That's a good idea.
Yeah, that was great.
And speaking of good ideas, Natalya versus Ruby Riott, because we really wanted to see this, and it happened. And that's okay. And Natalya wins by disqualification because – and I said that it looked like they had their time of the month on that door. Minister of Sinister, like, what the hell? Like, paint? Blood?
Sasha Banks coming out of nowhere. I mean, she's been gone for a while.
Silence for Sasha. Silence.
I don't know if she was injured or what the hell was going on, but she comes back, and she's just on the sideline as a cheerleader, along with Bayley for freaking Natalya, man. And so, yeah, man, just a quick match, real quick. Natalya slapping Ruby Riott. Yeah, I'll tell you what, though, man. That Ruby Riott can go, man. And you give her a nose job, man, and she might still be good. She might be saved by a nose job. But,
didn't she already get
man.
A nose job, Christian?
Well,
Natalya should
one.
Be helping. Should be helping Ronda, don't you think? Like, why did they shy away from that?
Well,
Ronda needs somebody in her corner.
Well, Natalya is not really important enough to be anywhere near the main story, so that's why. And second, I think it was ketchup and mustard that they squirted on Natalia's door. Ketchup and mustard from the concession stand.
Oh,
third,
was it? I must have missed that part while I was not paying attention.
And third and foremost, the Wyatt Squad are once again a bunch of useless women. They're fucking losers. They lose every fucking match that they're on, whether it's count out, disqualification, or a clean pin. These three can't fucking win out of a paper bag. They're all useless.
What, the Riott Squad?
Yeah.
But they apparently, according to Cole, that they're, you know, I don't even remember. He said this whole long diatribe about.
Speaking of Michael Cole, did you catch that stupid shit that he said in Dean Ambrose's match where he jumped on Drew McIntyre and he thought, when Michael Cole said that, well, maybe Ambrose thought it was McIntyre that was grabbing him. How the fuck was it McIntyre that was grabbing him when Dean just knocked him on the floor?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. What was that? What was that? I missed it.
Michael Cole, when there was a spot in Dean Ambrose versus Dolph Ziggler match where Dean jumped on McIntyre and helped Seth fend off against McIntyre, and then when Seth was trying to get Dean Ambrose up, Dean pushes him. But Michael Cole, stupid ass, said, well, maybe Ambrose thought it was Drew McIntyre attacking Dean.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
What
was what's wrong with him? Why not? Like, that's plausible. That's very plausible.
It is.
Because his he
and,
wasn't
and,
looking. Like, that's what
they
leave
you
in.
And he
you're
wasn't
like,
looking,
that's,
so.
That's the tease. You don't really know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but stupid. I don't know.
But also, you have to keep in mind that when he did that, he was not wearing the Shield getup with the freaking black tactical gear and shit. He was dressed as Street Dean Ambrose.
So what is he now? Corporate Kane? He switches between Corporate Kane and Demon Kane.
I mean,
now Dean Ambrose.
I'm just pointing out the facts. It seems like every time he has a problem with his attitude and shit, he's not dressed in Shield clothing. He's dressed as regular Dean Ambrose. And I noticed that also his wife made a comment today that said that she wasn't concerned about any of that, that she had her job to do. And so she didn't keep up with them and shit like that. So their comments, they're using her to comment about him, but she doesn't comment too much on the matches either. But, yeah, it's just very strange. It's all very
strange. Horrible.
And apparently that match is still booked here in December, so we might have another month and a half of this shit.
Beth Phoenix, Renee Young, and some British woman commentator will be commentating Evolution or something like that. Where Michael Cole will be flanked by Beth Phoenix and Renee Young. I think that sounds plausible. Don't you, Minister?
Yeah, I mean, Evolution still it's still building up, and I mean, I guess I'm gonna end up watching it.
Well, we're gonna have to because we're gonna make predictions
to
about it.
Oh well, shit. There you go. Are we gonna have a show about that too? Is that on a Sunday?
No.
I don't know. Probably we'll have to have a well, if it's on a Sunday, we'll do it on Monday. So it doesn't really matter. But we'll still
there
do our predictions. I guess, you know, no big deal.
Yeah.
Alliance coming out, and he is. I like Elias. I just hope they don't just ruin him with Apollo coming in. And then Apollo comes out because he's going to try for a career resurgence of some sort. And yeah, there you go. Minister of Sinister. Is this going anywhere? What about Apollo Crews? It's different now. Where's Titus? And how long until he gets put back with Titus?
Yeah, Paul Cruz coming out and challenging the Titus. I mean, what's his name? Shit, Elias. I don't know what happened to Titus O'Neil. I guess he was out at those Ebony Awards or some shit. I don't know. He was announced as some type of winner. But
oh well, so I'm like, it's. I guess it's a good time, right? It's a good time to get.
It is a good time. Apollo
do you believe
needs something, and Elias needs something, and so I guess I mean I don't know if this is going to lead into something, but it certainly seemed that way. You were asking?
No, I was asking if Christian believes in Apollo Crews and his ability to become an actual person.
No. In fact, I'm surprised they haven't let him go out of the company. To be honest, I've seen nothing in Apollo Crews. Nothing has impressed me about this man. They sabotaged him when they brought him up early in from NXT. But other than that, they should just release Apollo Crews. He has no future in this company. None. Like Lashley, he's also a dud.
Lashley and Crews should form a team. The dynamic
duds.
The duds. We have no personality.
Duds.
Leo Rush should get involved.
Duds.
But you know, you have to admit, Elias really does have it. You know what I mean? He knows how to get everybody. They're all with him, and then he shits on them, and he can even play the guitar well. Right, Minister?
Yeah, he's good. He's good at what he does. Everything he does is good. But it's very hard for him to put over talent like freaking Lashley and freaking Crews that are talentless. I mean, I'm not saying they're talentless, but shit, they don't come off well on camera and on the mic. They don't project themselves well. Although Crews, you can tell he's been working on his craft, but he was still smiling tonight. When can we take him serious? When can he cut a serious promo where he's not smiling, where he's a little bit pissed off? You know what I mean? And some shit like that. He needs to work on that character. Those dynamics from his character are totally missing. He's been there way too long to be the same smiling guy he was fucking 2 years ago. That's my
Elias,
thesis.
Elias, last word on Elias.
I think Elias needs to come up with new acts because I think he's a little bit getting a little stale. I think he needs to come up with something new about it in his routine because, frankly, I'm getting a little bored of it a little bit.
What it is, Christian, I have to tell you, what it is it's getting stale because they're overdoing it. They need
mm-hmm.
to save it and keep it more special. They don't have to fucking do it every show.
He
He's already proven
more.
That he can do it every show. They've already done
he
it at every show across the country probably twice already.
He needs to wrestle a little bit more, too.
He does. Yes, he does. But what are your thoughts on that, T-Rock?
He doesn't wrestle enough. You're right. Like, so how can we take him seriously? You know, I mean, he needs more matches, but his matches are good. They're usually pretty good. Hello?
He's not a bad wrestler.
No, he's not. Let's go to the Shield versus Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler, and Drew McIntyre teasing heel turns left and right. And as we saw at the end, it was Strowman who got pissed at Ziggler, and then McIntyre got pissed at Strowman, and then it was a stare down. Minister of Sinister, what did you think of the main event of Monday Night Raw tonight?
I mean, it was good drama, but it seems like it was a little bit too much back and forth with the heel turns. They're doing it with both teams at once, and it seems like it's just a little bit too much to digest at one time, man. I mean, that's how I feel about it. But maybe they're rushing it for some reason. Maybe they're just trying to get out of it. They see it's not working. Maybe they heard your show, and they're like, shit, we need to get out of this. It's clearly not working. We need to fucking split up so that we can do the single feuds. Like, I want to see Braun Strowman against the fucking Claymore kick. I want to see that shit, the freaking psychopathic Scottish guy or whatever the hell. I want to see that. So did Braun Strowman turn face tonight? That's one of the questions for me. Or are they going to sweep this shit under the rug and forget about it next week like it never happened? You never know what they're going to do. They could be in the fucking ring next week at the opening of Raw, cutting another promo the way they did this week, saying, you know what, we're still fucking here. We're not going away. We may have disagreements, but we're still here because we see this for the greater good. Or some type of shit like that. I mean, you never know what these guys are going to do.
I could see next week on Raw the Shield coming out and doing the same thing that they did this week and showing highlights of last week's show, seeing the discomforting, immoral, you know, breaking of the pact, like they did with the Shield this week. But anyway, as for this whole thing, I knew that they don't like the Braun Strowman heel turn. I think they're backpedaling it. I think they're going to turn Braun Strowman back to being a babyface. Because they knew they fucked up. They knew they fucked up turning him heel. And they knew they fucked up with this whole stable shit. So that's why
they needed to give him the title is what they needed to do.
Yeah. This heel turn was wrong from the get-go. It was going to be fucked up from the start. You screwed him off the Money in the Bank. You screwed him off in a Hell in a Cell match, which I don't even know how the fuck you even did that. By the way, he's a third wheel, Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman does not have any.
That's exactly the feeling I got from the way he was booked tonight. You got freaking Dolph Ziggler and Braun and freaking the Claymore guy, the Scottish superstar, whatever the fuck his name is. You got them in the ring holding the tag titles. Braun Strowman's holding nothing, and he starts talking to Ziggler and shit, like he's doubting Ziggler, and he's the one standing in there without a title, and it's like, how the fuck can I take him serious when he's the only one in the ring standing without a title? They should have
And he keeps losing the matches. He keeps losing the matches for this.
And you know what's the fucked up part, right?
So that's why I believe, guys, that he's the next fucking Bray Wyatt, big jobber to the stars, man.
Here's the fucked up thing, right? Everybody except Braun Strowman is getting over. Roman Reigns has the World Championship. Seth Rollins has the Intercontinental Championship. Drew and Dolph have the tag titles. Dean Ambrose is getting noticed. He's the main focus on it. What the fuck is Braun Strowman getting out of this? Not a goddamn thing. He's getting nothing out of this shit except for being a fucking stupid idiot, a third wheel. Losing Money in the Bank, and probably going to lose the triple threat match in Saudi Arabia. So you know what? Strowman is getting fucking screwed out of everybody here. He's the one getting screwed over. Yeah.
Angry, angry hippos. All right. So apparently we've come to the end of Monday Night Raw. That was great. We get to do a short show tonight. Let's talk to Minister Sinister and get his thoughts and his rating on the show tonight.
I mean, you know, it had its ups and it had its downs. It wasn't completely negative. It wasn't a complete bad. I mean, Ronda Rousey did a lot for this show for me. Man, she really impressed the shit out of me. I did not state earlier when we were talking about her how much she impressed me. She was clearly doing her homework and taking notes because, I mean, the way she touched on them promos, bringing John Cena out of the mix. I mean, I know maybe it's scripted. Maybe they let her have a little bit more free reign because she is Ronda Rousey. But whatever happened, it definitely worked out in her favor because she looked like a freaking champion tonight. She looked like a women's champion tonight, and I thought it was fantastic. I cannot believe it, actually. I am very surprised at how far she has come along. And it's like, holy shit, man, Ronda Rousey can do a lot of badass things in the WWE, but, you know, we've got to get him out of this business with the car models. After that, what's going to happen? I mean, I would love to see her against Charlotte or against Becky. I mean, some shit like that would be fantastic. But, yeah, man, I think she's got a great future in WWE. I thought it was the show had its ups and downs. I'm going to give it straight across the middle, man. I'm not going to do a Bret Hart on this one because I think that Ronda Rousey promo for me did a lot. And so I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10 this week.
5 out of 10. Christian from Philadelphia, yeah. What would you give the show tonight? And what were your thoughts?
Well, I just hate how they're treating Bronson. The fact that this man was the most over monster in the whole Raw roster, he was Money in the Bank. And now, because they turned him heel for no fucking reason, he's the third fucking wheel. He's getting no TV time whatsoever. He's barely gotten any fucking matches. His promos are fucking horrid now. He's acting like an idiot. And he's getting shafted through this whole storyline whatsoever. I'm going to give tonight's Raw 4.5 out of 10.
No Bret Hart there either. I'm going to go administer on that. I'm going to give it a 5. I didn't like a lot of it, but there was some really good stuff. Like, I really liked the Undertaker thing. I thought Ronda Rousey did really good. It made me really hate the Bellas so much. I like that last match, and I like what they're doing with Dean Ambrose. I agree with Christian that Braun Strowman has gotten really lost in the shuffle, and now if he's going against Drew McIntyre, you know, he can just be the monster, but, you know, tearing it down from what they had built up, it was right there. It was so easy. You had it in your sights, and you were like, let's turn him heel first, because that'll get him even more over. All right, so apparently we're at the end of the show. We can do an hour, and we can talk about whatever we want to talk about. When's the next pay-per-view? The women's one is not next week. The week after, SmackDown 1000, Minister, you'll have a good show, I guess, on Wednesday, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to – I haven't done the description for it yet, but obviously SmackDown 1000 will probably be the highlight. I'm thinking I'm going to include that Ronda Rousey promo as well. That was something that we need to talk about with the other cast members and see what they think about it. I thought it was great. Then whatever happens on SmackDown 1000, we'll go ahead and feature that. But if you haven't checked out the Radio Renegades with Christian and Batman, man, these guys put on a hell of a show. They are so informative. I can't believe it. Dare I say, two biggest wrestling nerds on the planet, all the shit they know. It's unbelievable, man. So fascinating. And I'm trying to keep up with them producing them. But, man, they bust out so much stuff that it's like I have to be on my toes. But this last week, they were heavy on Eddie Guerrero. So the show starts out with a good segment on Eddie Guerrero. If you get a chance, go back and listen to that, guys, right here on the World Generation Podcast Network.
Christian from Philadelphia, why don't you close yourself out with any last words about tonight?
All right, listen. SmackDown 1000 is going to be the most important show to watch tomorrow. But I love Rey Mysterio, but Shinsuke needs this win more than anything. He hasn't been on a pay-per-view since Hell in a Cell. Wait, not Hell in a Cell. See, I don't even know when it was the last time he's been on a pay-per-view. That's bad. He needs to win this fucking match so he could be at least in one fucking pay-per-view. He doesn't have to win the World Cup. He just needs to be in a fucking pay-per-view. Because Shinsuke has become irrelevant on SmackDown. He hasn't had no fucking matches whatsoever, so he needs to win tomorrow, the World Cup.
He's going to lose. Please. He's going to lose the title to Rey Mysterio tomorrow.
No, it's for the World Cup qualifier.
So he can lose. So Ray can lose. Ray can win the title from him, but he has to. He can lose that match because Nakamura is the best. He's United States champion, right? Why isn't he the best in the world, right? I mean, he's United States champion. He's from Japan. He has every right to be in there.
He needs to be in this fucking pay-per-view because he has been on a fucking pay-per-view since he's won this stupid belt. And this stupid belt.
U.S. champ, Chris, he'll be in it. He's the because Ray can take a loss. It's Ray coming back and whatever, and it could be some fucking shitty tactic or whatever. But you know, Ray can lose because if he's gonna get the title eventually anyway, he's still Ray Mysterio. Like
but anyway.
I mean, I think a low blow and the ref's back is turned and then Ray gets pinned or something. I think it's something stupid like that where it's not a minister. What do you think? What is going on tomorrow? Like they didn't mention any of it. Like Ray Mysterio, you didn't want to put that on your screen on during Monday Night Raw. Hey, Rey Mysterio is going to be here tomorrow.
I have not looked into it because I didn't want to spoil it for myself. So I have not looked into or read any articles as to who's going to be there. But I suspect.
Well, Minister, you know Evolution is going to be there. Everybody's going to be together. So what happens with that? Does Randy Orton get pissed? Does he beat up Batista or something like that?
I would love to see Randy Orton beat up somebody. Even Flair, I think that would be the best thing. Where he traps fucking Batista and Triple Orton and Triple H in a limo and they can't get out or some type of crazy shit and he beats up the old man Flair. Oh my God, that would be killer for his new character that he has. I would love to see.
I'm automatically back in Evolution. You guys didn't give a shit about me. You left, and I've been here. You know what I mean? I've been here this week. I've been holding on. And you guys left. You're this and that. Who the fuck do you think you are? But they're not going
to
do that. They're not going to do that. They're going to have their mouth
man from behind.
Or Randy could do the things that he's always been doing. He could interfere in another Shinsuke match and make Shinsuke win the match again. Because he's been doing that for every fucking SmackDown for some reason. He's always been interfering in Shinsuke's matches.
But he's in the Evolution angle. Like, are they going to use him more than once? I mean, he could be the good running thread through the show. But I know that Edge is going to be there in some capacity. I heard rumor The Rock is probably going to go live via satellite. Mm-hmm. What else? Christian, Mark Henry, he'll do a sexual.
I have to ask you, Rock, what would you do since you are the head booker of the IWC? Christian and I and the world, we all want to know, the World Generation Podcast Network wants to know, how would you book this shit tomorrow night?
How would I book tomorrow night? Well, I would.
Yeah.
I would have Nakamura win because he has no choice but to win because he's the United States champion and he's from Japan. So there's got a built-in story. Yeah, Rey Mysterio coming back, best in the world, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that you can keep that feud alive with Rey and Nakamura while Nakamura is in the championship or in the title, what do they get? Do they get a trophy? Do they get
a crown jewel? Is some type of dildo, man, that they use in some type of sexual perverse way.
They get a Harry Potter's cup, Harry Potter cup. If Randy wins it, then he's just gonna destroy it.
I also think that
Randy Orton should all be in the ring, and I agree with you, Minister. He should beat down probably Ric Flair, but I mean, you know, give him an RKO and then run out of the ring, you know, or something like that. Like just a quick, you know, they're together. He kicks Ric Flair, RKOs him, rolls out of the ring, and then Triple H and Batista are in the ring looking at him like, what are you doing?
And he just
walks away. And then throughout the night, like maybe if you want to make him the running thread, he just
you
RKOs
know what
everything.
Could happen.
And he's coming for Triple H and he's coming for Batista, right? So he's I'm gonna RKO you and I'm gonna RKO you. So you have Batista the whole night and then he gets RKO'd in the locker room or something and Randy comes out of the shower and then Triple H is scared and because Randy Orton keeps RKOing everybody in the show and he comes out he's like Triple H, now it's your turn and at the end of the show he finally gets to RKO Triple H. But no, wait. Shawn Michaels is there, and then The Undertaker and Kane come out, and
you know what could happen, right? I just see it like this: Undertaker and Kane comes out, ruins the Evolution reunion, but then Triple H makes a tag team match between Undertaker and Kane, and Randy Orton and himself. But Randy Orton RKO's Triple H, and Brothers of Destruction wins.
Oh, you think there's going to be a match?
Yeah.
You think the Brothers of Destruction are going to appear in a ring and have a match so close to the first time they've ever been in a ring before with DX?
Well,
Minister, what do you think of that?
Like
what do you think? Do you see a match? Do you see a match?
Man, it would be special. I would definitely like to see it. I mean, you know, for free on TV one last time, even though it's always free, you know, with pay-per-views and shit, but still. $10 a month. I mean, it's next to free. But, I mean, still, you know, there's some people that don't have the luxury of having the network. So, yeah, I think it would be cool if they showed
you know what you
like
do.
That. I don't,
you know
I
what
don't
you do is at the
stuff.
End, here, Minister, I figured it out. I finished it for you. You just put there Randy Orton with the Brothers of Destruction versus Evolution,
oh,
Ric Flair,
God,
Batista, and Triple H.
Yeah,
and then,
there you go.
And, three-on-three match. There you go. See? Writer's room, here
Ring
we
the
come.
Bell.
That's good, right? That's a good way
that's
to do
good
it.
Shit right there, man. Yeah. Yeah. That's some good shit right there. Just like you said, I'm down with that. I'm down with that.
But
and then
that,
Randy Orton,
that,
and then Randy Orton RKO's Undertaker out of nowhere.
That would be a nice, that would be a very good end to the whole thing. And I don't think you have to have Shawn Michaels come out. I mean, I guess he could. If you were doing that whole thing, Shawn Michaels would come out. And or, oh, shit, Randy Orton takes out Ric Flair during the night, and somebody has to step in for him, and it's Shawn Michaels. So it's Shawn Michaels, Batista, and Triple H. And there you go. And Batista takes one bump. Because you take Ric Flair out, you got to find
a
place.
You know, Hollywood right? Insurance won't let him take bumps.
No, he's going to get a clothesline or two come in, and I don't think he's going to ever get knocked down. If that, I guess. I mean, unless, like, The Undertaker takes him out or something like that.
Yeah.
Or have him just take Batista out and take Ric Flair out and just have the Brothers of Destruction and Randy Orton against Triple H in a terrible moment. Shawn Michaels comes back. Christian, how would you book tomorrow? Did you already talk about that?
Yeah, I would book Randy Orton to RKO Undertaker, Kane, Triple H, Batista, and Ric Flair all in one night. At the end of the whole thing, because then he will be the mega heel. He ruins the whole fucking SmackDown 1000. At the end of the day, Randy Orton's going to ruin the whole fucking thing. Somehow, someway, he's going to ruin SmackDown 1000 tomorrow.
In a perfect world, Minister of Sinister, that's what would happen. But what is going to happen?
Man, I cannot tell you. Shit like this, I cannot predict at all, man. I really can't. I mean, all I know is that you're going to have your typicals there. You're going to have Edge will be there. I'm more than sure. You know,
yeah, they announced on the commercials.
There you go. So Edge is going to be there. Fucking, you know,
Undertaker.
Definitely. Undertaker, yeah. Will Kurt Angle be there, though? He's a part of Raw right now. But he was an integral part of freaking SmackDown for many, many, many years.
I would have somebody surprise appearance like Chris Jericho, like if he because he's I mean, but he's doing his pro wrestling thing, but if somebody like him showed up because he was big there, or you bring somebody else in who was like a bigger name, you know, a bigger name, like Ken Shamrock
Chris
was on SmackDown.
Would be a badass knockout
moment. Yeah, why wouldn't you could get that. You could get that with Edge, or you can because Sexual Chocolate's gonna be there too, so you got to do a segment with him. And if Mae Young was alive, she'd be there, but she's not. So maybe he'll be, you know, him and the Hand will have a reunion. I bet that'll. that's what I'd do. I'd have them sit down and talk. Son,
is JBL coming?
JBL, ooh. Jerry Lawler,
is he coming?
You get the King back. Is he coming back? Like, are those surprises? Would they announce them? Would they have announced those surprises if they were? And who do you see coming? Maybe.
I think Umaga might make an appearance, and Eddie Guerrero maybe.
Eddie Guerrero.
By the way, it was Eddie Guerrero's birthday, October 9th, and it was a good show. You guys need to go back and listen to that show, I'm telling you. Go back and listen to freaking Radio Renegade. Good show, man. But, Eddie Guerrero might come back. You know, who the fuck knows? I'd love it. Not really.
I'd book him back. If he was available.
Oh, man, if he was alive, definitely. You have to book Eddie
Guerrero.
Was
Stone Cold on SmackDown? Was Stone Cold on SmackDown ever?
Yeah,
he was on SmackDown. Yeah, man, I know Chavo, man. I always thought Chavo got a bad rap. He was a good worker. Maybe he had a bad attitude. I don't know, but
it's gonna be funny because it's gonna seem like a lot of B talent because it was always B talent. Like, because SmackDown is always the B show, so people you associate. Yeah, so the people you associate with SmackDown, Teddy Long will be there. And, you know, the people you associate with SmackDown are gonna appear. But SmackDown has always been booked as the weaker show. It seems like, you know, Big Show and Mark Henry.
But I remember in the 90s, SmackDown had DX in it. They were running game over there when they had China and all that shit. They were running game over there on SmackDown.
Mankind.
Well, how is Triple H
Rock
gonna do? How is he gonna do it? He's got to do a DX reunion and
an Evolution. That's not. I don't know. I don't think that would happen.
No.
Could that happen?
All right. No, there've been too many DX. There've been too many DX reunions.
Everybody's involved. Evolution's involved. They're involved. Randy Orton's involved. And just everybody is, and the Brothers of Destruction and Shawn Michaels, and they're all involved in the final segment of tomorrow's show because everybody's there, right? Evolution is there, everybody's there, and they're all going to be involved.
Except for AJ Styles because they haven't announced him being there, the champion.
Well, he's going to be there. He'll probably face I'd do an open challenge and bring back, like, the Brooklyn Brawler or something like that. Like, I'd bring back somebody
Zero XNXT in the chat is saying that it should be a fun show. But once again, WWE is using past talents to help their show, which is kind of sad. But, I agree with that. However, this is a 1,000 show. So it's like, you know, when you do shit like that, you do have to go back. Like when they did
the
100th episode of Seinfeld, you know, they go back in time and shit. So
you get the Rolodex out and you book, you know, you book the old people like they did with Raw when they were having a poker game. So now you
and
have.
It's a damn shame, man. And it's a damn shame that Eddie Guerrero isn't going to be able to be there with a fucking lowrider and shit, man. That would have been badass. But what about Del Rio?
Who?
Huh? What about Del Rio? What about Dashing Cody fucking
Rhodes? No. Del Rio is a no-no. Paige is on SmackDown.
Could he book Cody Rhodes? He could. He could book Cody Rhodes. No. Like, would he do it? Like,
would he show up with the NWA title?
I would if I was booking. Listen, if I was booking the NWA title, and WWE said, "Let me feature this on my television show," I'd be like,
fuck,
"Okay,
yeah. Hell
like,
yeah,
okay, there you go."
The title.
Have a nice night. Enjoy me seeing your friends and being on national TV instead of some podunk channel. But then again, it's the prestige of the, it's Cody looking at it like the prestige of the title is so much that I can't bring it to the WWE. But that's a good booking. If you can't get Chris Jericho, get Cody Rhodes. And if you can't get Cody Rhodes, bring in Kenny Omega.
Or RVD.
RVD might make it a appearance. Brock Lesnar, bring in the pain, baby.
Brock Lesnar
might be the only person I don't want to see on SmackDown.
But he was on SmackDown, though. He was...
I know, but I don't want to... I already saw enough of Lesnar. I don't want to see him on SmackDown.
Wasn't that when the world title was, like, the NWA World Championship? Or not the Ric Flair's title?
It was the Undisputed Championship.
I just hope they don't have fucking, you know, aside from the 20 minutes of commercials per hour, of regular commercials, I hope they don't have fucking, you know, 10 to 15 minutes per hour of WWE commercials on it, and it just waters the whole fucking thing down. It'll be shit.
Oh, they will. Oh, they will. This is the USA channel we're talking about here. The USA channel has always useless commercials.
Well, yeah, and it's going to be very promotionally. I don't think there's going to be a lot of wrestling.
Yeah.
And if we see a match, it's going to be a shitty match. It's going to be between two people that nobody really cares about. Like, who are the two people you would put in a match? You put, he got, oh, 3MB could reunite. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Oh, man, that would be fucking killer. Are you kidding me? I would love it.
But we'll probably just get a Slater and Rhino reunion, probably.
Boo.
They're going to go for the nostalgia, man. You know it. Like, remember on Raw, they went for all the, you know, like, the characters come in and say
man,
one line.
See a fucking,
you
know? 3 and
what about
Team 3D? They're getting Hornswoggle back.
Team 3D, yeah, that's a big possibility too, man.
They were definitely...
Or not Team 3D, but the fucking, whatever they're... The Dudley Boys.
Yeah, there
you go.
The Dudley Boys. So there's so many, but are they going to give us surprises or are they going to give us what they advertise?
I think they're going to give us a few
surprises. And are they going to be good surprises, Christian?
I think some are going to be good, but I think some are going to be let downs. Like, like maybe MVP is going to be a let down.
Hey, Teddy Long could come out and be like, Randy Orton and the Brothers of Destruction versus Ric Flair, Batista, and Triple H players, and then he, because he always makes the pick.
I love me some Teddy Long, man.
Yeah.
So he's gonna be there. Sexual chocolate.
The main event is going to be a tag team match,
we're not going to see no sexual chocolate, man. As much as I would love to, I would chop my fucking right arm to see some fucking sexual chocolate. But no, they're not going to do that, man. Come on.
Mark Henry's coming back, man. What is he going to be? Mark Henry? Nostalgia, baby.
He's going to be the Texas version Mark Henry, where he's, you know, the Texan boy.
That'd be cool. New Day will make an appearance. I'm sure they'll work with somebody as well. All right, so we've gone way over the end of the show that we thought. Christian from Minister, any last words before I ring you out?
Yeah, man. Just check out my show Thursday night. We're going to talk all about SmackDown 1000 and a couple of other things that maybe happened on Raw. And we might even do some news with Christian. You know what? We will do some news. I will tap that in. Some news with Christian.
Yeah.
Since, we've got all this Saudi Arabia shit going on. They did not mention Saudi Arabia tonight. Very interesting point T-Rock brought up. So yeah, tune into my show. That's Fatal 4-Way Radio Thursday night, And just check out our website, worldgenerationpodcast.com. And, yeah, we'll see you there, man. Keep it real. Keep it real.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the IWC World Heavyweight Champion Minister. And there's a rumor about another IWC show coming, and it might just be the Super Show, where all of our titles are on the line with worthy opponents. We'll have to see about that. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We went short, depending on your thoughts, or we went long, considering I was going to end it 20 minutes ago. So, WrestleCorp, thank you. The World Generation Podcast Champion, Mumra, was there. Thank you, Mumra, Zero NXT, as always. Thank you guys for listening. Tomorrow night, Mike Santori, and Facing Tuesday, Thursday, Minister. Friday, Joe Bates. Saturday, Renegades, and Sunday, Hollywood Tony P and Mark the Arcturian have a very interesting conversation about everything and everywhere. I'm T-Rock Plutonium, the world's only sign-spinning luchador. T-Rock Plutonium, why? Because it's what makes time travel possible. If you smell what T-Rock is cooking, we'll see you guys next week on Monday Night Fallout. Be there.
Presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.
Number 5 is alive.